Blog Talk Radio.
Necessary just for that brief moment, because the outer darkness just told me it's the darkness, outer darkness in hell, and that's what the 3 days of darkness is. It's alive. Somehow it's alive.
Dream that the Lord gave me that is titled The Silver Mist. There was no sun and no moon. I was standing on a plane watching the sky with a family member of mine, and as we watched, there was no sun and no moon and no stars for 3 days. There was this fake artificial lighting in the sky that was very foggy, and there seemed to be light coming from one portion of the sky, but I can't even say it was light in a circular shape like the sun is supposed to be. It was just this fake day that we were getting that wasn't real sun, and at night it was so pitch black. This false lighting went away, and it was terribly dark. And so that is one.
Last night, the Lord began to show me how the United States are going to find themselves very soon in a mess that they didn't think possible will come to this land. I saw people running to and fro. Hallelujah. It looks like the 3 days of darkness was upon this land. It was in the middle of the day, but it was dark, and people was running. Hallelujah. People had no peace under the 3 days of darkness, confused. A lot of people had a lot of questions, what is going on, what caused this. I could hear the media, scientists and all that, like on television and radio saying, they were trying to figure out why did these three days of darkness happen, what caused it, why were these things happening. And it was like being back in the time of Egypt when the angel of death came into the land, and it was darkness, it was evil. These people were being killed. My brothers and sisters, the firstborn was being killed before Pharaoh had no choice to let God's people go. It was all to let God's people go that the angel of death supervised by God Almighty, because God said, I will pass through the land. And it also said the angel of death will pass through the land. And the Lord says, I will pass through the land.
My judgments are being poured out. The darkest hour is soon to come. That hour will be tragic. Tragic for many. For many who are lost.
is very disturbing indeed.
They let the enemy convince them they have more time. Hear me, says the Lord. Some of you have no more time. Today is your day. And Jesus told Peter, talk to a crow 3 times, and you will deny me. Some of you will cease to see the light of day before the rooster crows again. For some, it is morning, but for many, it will be their night, and the light will go out, never to return. Say it to me. Because I love you, I tell you again, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me, saith the Lord. Confess your sins and repent, and I will save you, and I will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will spend eternity with me. But some of you reject me one more day, and you will go where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. You will reject me no more, says the Lord. It's time to settle the accounts of people before me, saith the Lord.
Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, mighty Lord, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty Jehoshua. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for your mercy that endureth forever. Mighty Lord, mighty God, mighty Jesus, Lord, we pray. Hallelujah, Lord, that you will speak to our life, will minister, Lord. We bind the strong man and all hindering spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name tonight, mighty Lord, mighty Jesus, that we may speak your word, mighty Lord, your message, your revelation, Lord, and hallelujah, with complete freedom. We bind the strong man and all hindering spirit. We cast out all demons from south and north, up and down. In Jesus' name, and we pray, Lord, that we're able to share your word with freedom, Lord. Freedom, freedom, what the Lord is, that freedom. Your word said, Lord, we cover every life with the blood of Jesus shed on Calvary. Let every life recover, every family, every home. Lord Jesus, Lord Yeshua, Lord Jehoshua, break the power of the evil one, mighty Lord, mighty Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Hallelujah. Give us the word, Lord, that we need to speak in freedom. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Yeshua. We thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, Brother L.V. Zapata. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We are in the last days before the return of Jesus. Amen. Praise you, Lord. So we want to be ready for his return, because he made us a promise that he will return for us. And so we are eagerly, patiently waiting on him, because we know he's faithful and he made us a promise he will return for us. Amen. And we are trusting the Lord, not leaning on our own understanding, but on his promise, his word, his gospel, his Bible. Amen. Okay, it's Tuesday night again. Hallelujah. God has given us another Tuesday night to study his word, my brother and sister. Remember, if you have questions, you can type it in the chat room about the Bible study. We want to do this together. Praise the Lord for the glory of Jesus. My brother and sister, we want to study the word of God together. Amen. And I have a lot to share, and I want to start, hallelujah, by going into the word, and we, hallelujah, as we go, we may change the topic, hallelujah, because there's so much that we can talk about. My brother and sister, we don't want to just stay on one topic, hallelujah, because so much is happening, and so much the word of God said it would happen in the last days. So we will be in the book of Revelation, book of Daniel. We will be going through the prophet, right now I am going into Genesis, my brothers and sisters. I see something in Genesis that, hallelujah, I was speaking with someone early in regard to this. Genesis starts in Genesis 11, verse 28. The Bible says that while his father Terah still alive, Haran died, and Earth, you are Earth, of those called, I say Chaldean, Chaldean. People say the right pronunciation is Chaldeans. I say Chaldeans, my brothers and sisters. His native land. Okay, this is talking about Abraham, the father of faith. I studied that the Chaldean Chaldeans are Russians, and we found out in Isaiah that they had no beginning. Abraham just find himself in this land. I don't know. The question is, was Abraham Russians? I know that the Jewish people today feel that they're very related to the Russians, my brother and sister. And then if we say that the Jewish people are related to the Russians, then there's a lot of questions that would be asked, my brother and sister. And one of the questions that I know a lot of people also ask is about Melchizedek. Okay, Melchizedek, my brother and sister. Okay, which is tied to the tithes and offering. Okay, my brother and sister, Melchizedek. Thank you, Lord. And we don't talk about much about Melchizedek, my brother and sister. But the Bible says that Abraham gave his tithes, his offering to Melchizedek, the high priest. And in the study of Melchizedek is that Melchizedek has no beginning, my brother and sister. Okay? Hallelujah. And so the question is, hallelujah. Shalom, Sister Renee. Shalom, each and one of you in the chat room. Those that are lagging. So you see that the more you study, the more you want to study more, and the more you learn, the more you understand, my brother and sister. Okay, I'm not sure if Abraham family, either mother or father, were Chaldeans. But the Bible indicates something here that it makes you think that he was. And then Melchizedek also was a high priest. And the Bible says he has no beginning. And then in Isaiah, talking about the Chaldean, the Russians have no beginning. So you see where all these questions are leading to now? Then we're going to have to study more. And that's what I've been looking up, this information, try to understand they have no beginning, and I almost said the beginning of them. Well, where did this begin? Because we know that everything is created, right? We are all created of God, creatures, which mean created of God. Okay, and I don't know if you heard anyone talk about this, but it's in the Word of God. So when I go to Genesis 11:28, what his father Terah was still alive in Haran. Haran died in earth of the Chaldean native land. Verse 11, 31, so Sarah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his wife, and his son Abram, and they set out together from Ur of the Chaldean to go to Canaan. Where they came far off of Haran, they stayed there. And then we know that in Genesis 15:7, this is when the Lord speaks to Abraham now. And the Lord said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of earth of the Chaldeans, to give you this land so that you will take it to possess of it. Okay? So we see the Lord speaking to Abraham, but we didn't see the Lord speaking to his father, though, or his other family. So we understand that God's relationship was with Abraham. And we read later on that God called Abraham his friend. Okay? So the question here is, as we understand, God's relationship, one-on-one personal relationship with Abraham, but it doesn't mention it like it was with the father. It's like, but then when you read about David and Eli was his father, you don't hear about how God having a relationship with Eli, but you hear David having a relationship with God. So since this is personal, one-on-one with God, it could be that Abraham's father did not have a relationship with him, my brother and sister, okay, as Abraham did, okay, my brother and sister. So there's a lot of questions there to be asked, and if some of you have any understanding on this, you can go ahead and ask. But it really, hallelujah. And then the prophet Nehemiah 9:7 says, you are the Lord, the God who chosen Abraham to took him from the Ur of the Chaldeans to give him the name Abraham. You see? So it leads us to understand the awesome personal relationship that Abraham had with God, but not his father, not his mother, not his brothers. My brother and sister, have you ever think about this? My brother and sister, amen. We'll move on to another topic, but I wanted to bring this on, and I want you to meditate on this, that there's so much research we need to do in regard to Abraham. And the question is, if he came out of the Chaldeans, who in his family was related to the Chaldeans? Or was he just living in the land of the Chaldeans? But then the Bible says his father lived there. Then was his father Chaldean, his mother Jewish, or from other descendants? So leave us with a lot of questions, my brother and sister. But then Melchizedek, who was the high priest, who has no beginning. So now we are led now, my brother and sister, Melchizedek. Amen. And Abraham gave his tithes and offering to Melchizedek, my brother and sister. You see? So a question leads to more questions. But it's actually something for us to study. Hallelujah. So Genesis 14, okay, it's verse 18, but hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Genesis 14, hallelujah. I'm reading here. This is about Melchizedek. Hallelujah. So verse 17, so, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, which is the king there after the return from the slaughter of the Shemalom, and the king who was with him. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High. Praise you, Lord. Someone said that Melchizedek was the Lord, was Jesus. At one time I heard someone say, Melchizedek was Jesus. And it made a lot of sense when I heard it, but I'm not sure if that was an accurate information, my brother and sister. Here in Hebrew, a book of Hebrew, said about Melchizedek, Hebrew 5:6, and he said also in another place, thou art high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Okay? So God sent the priesthood of his son according to the order of Melchizedek, my brother and sister. In Hebrew 5:6, then Hebrew 5:7, being called by God as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, still talking about Jesus, Hebrew 6:20, where the forerunner had entered for us, even Jesus who had made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In order for Jesus' priesthood to be made forever, well, the understanding is that he is God and he is forever and ever. But his priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7:1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High, met Abraham, who was returning from the slaughter of the king, and blessed him. Okay? Praise the Lord. Someone studied this a lot and said that this king, this priest is Jesus. But let's continue studying. So Hebrews 7:2, to him also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, Melchizedek first being by interpretation, king of righteousness, which is only belongs to Jesus, and after also king of Salem, which means king of peace, king of peace. And Jesus said his peace he give unto us, not like the world giveth. In his kingdom, his high priest, it is established according to Melchizedek. The Bible does say that God cannot swear by other, because no one is higher than him. So the understanding is that this is the Lord, but it also can be the Father. My brothers and sisters, it can also be the Father. It can be Father God here, because it is called King of Righteousness. Okay? King of Righteousness. So my understanding here, I know someone said this with Jesus, but my understanding here, this could be Father. That's a high priest. My brother insisted. Now, the Lord was established as a high priest here, according to the order, because see, Jesus established that the Father is greater than him. So only the Father can, only the Father, as Jesus said in the New Testament, that his Father is greater than him. So his priesthood has to be of the Father. Some of you agree with it, my brother and sister. What do you think? Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's really something to meditate. So I think here, Father, in the beginning, this is in the beginning of creation, came down and met Abraham. And the part that it says meet Abraham is interesting because Abraham is known to be a friend of God. My brother and sister, Abraham is known to be a friend of God. So the question is, hallelujah, hallelujah, it has to be God, hallelujah. It has to be God, it has to be Father here who, my brother and sister, is the one who encountered the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because Abraham is known as being friend of God. And thank you, Lord. I'm searching and researching it so I can be able to prove it by the word. Thank you, Lord. Because everything that we know in the Bible, or everything there is about this life, it's in the Bible. And we have to be able to look it up, my brothers and sisters, and study it. Amen? Thank you, Lord. So he was blessed by, hallelujah, he was blessed by God. And then in another part, Genesis, but this is talking about Abraham, when God called him to be imperfect. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I think this is so interesting for us to study and search and research because it gives us so much. Again, Hebrews 7:2, and also him, Abraham gave the tenth part of all Melchizedek first being by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after also king of Salem, which means king of peace. Amen. And so he blesses the Lord. He blesses Abraham, my brother and sister. Hebrews 7:6, by Melchizedek, who descend is not counted from them, received the tithe from Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. Okay? So, okay, Abraham comes from among the Chaldeans or Chaldeans, but not Melchizedek. The Bible is very clear in Hebrews 7:6. He just showed up as the high priest there among them. He encountered Abraham. So it's not like he had a temple there. He came when Abraham was coming and encountered him. and encounter him as a high priest. Abraham respecting the orders of the high priest, what did he do? He gave him the tithes and offering. And Melchizedek blessed him. My brother and sister, isn't that incredible? And a lot of people, when they preach about the blessing, says that the tithes and offering has to be given in order for the blessing to be receiving according to this order of Melchizedek. And it's so true. It's a biblical foundation there. Hebrews 7:10. For he was yet in the loin of his father when Melchizedek met Abraham. I believe he's talking about Isaac here. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7:11. And after therefore perfection was brought, where through the Levitical priesthood, for under the people received the law, but further need was that another priest to rise according to the order of Melchizedek and now be called according to the order of Aaron. Hallelujah. Since the Lord, since Father God Almighty appeared there as a priest, my brother and sisters, he just showed up in the scene of Abraham. Hallelujah. He's establishing priests that needs to be according to Father. And that God is the one who anoints us and bless us. My brother and sister, isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? And I understand that this is Father here, because one time the Lord revealed me, Father, I saw Father come into the earth to bless a city on the earth, a place, a town, and I saw Father blessing this place, and I saw how the curse was lifted as he came and blessed it. So understanding here the blessing of Father over Abraham is the ultimate blessing Father gives, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. We read that Jesus is life, but where did he got life from? Father, the one. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? The things that you learn in his word, in his Bible. I saw Father walking, and as he walked near the death, it immediately came alive. Dead grass immediately came alive. Everything that was dead immediately came alive when Father walked. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible identifies God as the God of the living and not the God of the dead. Isn't that incredible? He's identified as God of the living and not God of the dead. And the word of God, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7:15. And this is yet far more evidence when there is when there arise another priest according to the similitude of Melchizedek. Notice that every priest now that must come to God now, okay, has to be according to this order of Melchizedek. Now, this action of Abraham was done by faith. Notice how this man of God, Abraham, walked by faith. He just met this guy for the first time. This priest just appeared to him. And immediately he believed that he was of God. He knew in him that this man, this high priest was of God, and gave him a tithe and offering. And then the priest blessed him. My brother and sister, imagine you meeting someone for the first time, someone that just appeared, and you're not there. Where do you come from? Excuse me. What church do you come from? Because this is the first thing people say, which is very wrong. God sends you a messenger. And immediately people want to know, what denomination are you from? But in their spirit, God is letting them know that this is a messenger from him. There's a confirmation to the spirit. This is what the sermon comes into play. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sermon comes into place. The place where it discerns what is of God and what is not. And this high priest, Melchizedek, appeared as Abraham is coming. He encountered him. And you don't see him rebuking Melchizedek. You see that Abraham walked by faith and not by sight. This is one thing you need to see here about Abraham's action, his attitude, his behavior to Melchizedek. He doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't question him. He doesn't say, wait a minute, you're not going to deceive me. Where do you come from? Who's your parents? What city, what town do you come from? I need info. Give me the info here. No. See that a lot of the things people do are not of faith, but are actually of unbelief. My brother and sister, and the Bible calls us to walk by faith. The disciples say, well, we walk by faith, not by sight. The righteous shall walk by faith. Notice now where if the Bible said the righteous shall walk by faith, which it is correct, our righteousness walking by faith is that when God comes to us, we know it's him. Hallelujah, because there is a, hallelujah, confirmation to our spirit, if you want to call it. A testimony is the word. Unto our spirit that testify that it's God who just encountered you. Hallelujah. And he looked like a high priest. Abraham at this moment, I don't think he knew it was God, but he knew that this was from God. My brother insisted. Hallelujah. Think about it for a minute. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7:17. For he testified, thou art priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Father, when he anointed Jesus, the word of God said that he testified, hallelujah, he testified, and testifying is giving testimony, affirming something publicly, saying to the angels, the spirit, in all his creation in heaven, thou, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. See, Melchizedek is father. It has to be father because Jesus said that the father was greater than him. So Melchizedek was not Jesus. Melchizedek is father. My brothers and sisters, Melchizedek is father. Hallelujah, because Jesus said, Father is greater than I. Shalom, Brother Miguel. Hallelujah. And here, he anointed his son, Jesus, to be a priest. My brother and sister, isn't that incredible? Hebrews 7:21. For those priests were made without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said unto him, the Lord swore and will not repent. God is not a man that he will repent. Hallelujah. Thou, that's what Samuel says to King Saul. The Lord swore we will not repent. Thou art priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. God is incredible. God is amazing. Because he is God. He comes to Abraham. And he wants to show humanity how to walk by faith. He called Abraham the father of faith. And every time you study the life of Abraham, you can see how he walked by faith in an amazing way. He encountered this man for the first time, who is God taking a form of a man, encountered Abraham as a high priest. And Abraham doesn't say there to question, where do you come from? Who's your family line? Who's your father? Okay? Show me your IDs, like some people say today. Come on. Let me see your ID. Huh? Oh, my brothers and sisters. It's like when they brought the coin to Jesus. Hallelujah. And he asked, who is this coin? Of Caesar. And what did he say? Give unto Caesar what is of Caesar. Give unto God what is of God. In other words, don't miss the truth. If you have to pay tithes, pay it. If you have to pay tax, pay it. But make sure you give to God what is of God. Don't say that because you got to give to God, you cannot pay your taxes. Don't use that as an excuse. In another word, give unto God what is of God and not Caesar what is of Caesar. God is always first. Bible insisted. Everything is in order in our life. Self-discipline is in the Bible. We have to be in order. Our life has to be in order. Amen. So God is showing to us who this man, Abraham, is. A faithful man. A man of God. My brother and sister. Whether people question who he was is their own, hallelujah, endeavor. Hallelujah. Life choice. Again, Genesis 14:17. So the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of the Shaveth with the king's dale after his return from the slaughter of the Chedorlaomer. And now the king who went with him, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There has to be an indication that he is the king of the Most High, my brother and sister. In other words, Abraham have to see that he is the king of the Most High. As the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses up in the mountain, hallelujah, he asked Moses who he was speaking with. And the Bible says it was the angel of the Lord that appeared to him. In one verse, in one part you read it was God. In another part you read it was the angel of the Lord. And then you say, who? But Father and Son are one. But an indication to blessing the Lord to being as a high priest, he did it after the order of Melchizedek, because Jesus said that the Father is greater than him. My brother and sister, God can only swear by himself and no other, the Bible says, because no one is greater than him. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? So verse 19 said, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham as the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Possessor of heaven and earth. So God is very clear that heaven and earth is his. He made it. He created it. My brother and sister. And everything in it, Psalm 149, I believe it says. 147, 148. Everything in it belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. And blessed be the Most High God, who God delivered thy enemy unto thy hand, and he gave him the tithes of all. Hallelujah. Have you ever blessed God? Have you ever blessed God, my brother and sister? Have you ever said, blessed be the Most High God? Have you ever blessed God? Let me look for this in Psalm. Because David did it. And sometimes you talk to someone about something, and it's like, huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. What an awesome God. Hallelujah. Let me get to Psalms and show you. Hallelujah. David said in Psalm 18:46, Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let up the God of my salvation be exalted. He blesses his rock, which we know is Jesus. My brother and sister, he blesses his rock. He blesses Jesus. Well, I know a lot of people right now what they're thinking. Why would God need to be blessed? If God already owns all, why does he need to be blessed? Psalm 41:13, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for everlasting to everlasting, amen and amen. He's blessing God. If you never bless God, you need to start blessing him. You need to start in your prayer. When you worship him, bless him. Because you're going to experience something different in your life. Hallelujah. You can never outgive him. Imagine if you can bless him every day. Like David did. My brother and sister. Psalm 66:20. Blessed be God who hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. How can this man go on every day blessing God? Where did he learn this? Hallelujah. I'm sure a lot of people are thinking he should have been blessing the poor. So many poor people out there, and he would have blessed them, they would have been blessed. Hallelujah. Remember the woman Mary who poured that expensive perfume on Jesus and with her hair washed his feet. And Judah said, oh, that perfume, so expensive. It could have been sold and the money would have been given to the poor. There are people that don't understand the way God works. And all that, when you come closer to him and you do this in humility and love toward him, you're going to experience God in a deeper, incredible way in your life. Barbara insisted. Jesus said, let her. There were people there who were going to grab maybe Mary by the hair and put her here and take her out of the room and maybe even kick her outside and say, woman, don't you dare come here again. How can you waste this perfume on the Lord this way? The Lord knew what action these men would take. Let her. Because at the moment, they were not understanding what Mary was understanding. She was anointing the King of King and Lord of her lives. She understood it in her humility, in her humbleness. When she humbled herself, there was something in her spirit, a revelation that came to her that he is God, that he is her Lord of Lords, the one that needs to be worshipped and be humble to. She understood it clear in spirit. Her spiritual eye was open. But those men in the room, not yet. Not yet. It's complicated when you understand something and then you're talking to other people that don't understand it. And they want to judge you for simple things. My brother insisted. And that's not what they're thinking. It's not the purpose. The purpose is that we are serving our King, our Lord of Lords, God Almighty. He deserves everything and anything we want to give him from our heart. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But everyone is not there yet. Mary, a prostitute, that was about to be stoned. And Jesus saved her life from being killed. And in her humbleness, in her crying to God, God opened her eyes to see. Bible says in Isaiah, God shared his spirit with the humble. She humbled herself. She received a revelation that none of those men in that room had yet. They got it later, but she had it first. Mary had it first. That's why, hallelujah, Sunday morning, Mary and the other Mary went to the tomb. They were looking for something. They were looking for something. My brother and sister, hallelujah, she was looking for something. She was looking for him that she believed to be in God Almighty, Messiah, the life of the world. And that touch she received, that anointing that was over her life when she was watching, cleaning his feet, that power and anointing that was over her life, that her eye was open to be seeing God there. She knew at the very moment that he was God, that she, with her hair without perfume, was washing the feet of God Almighty. My brother and sister, when she went to the tomb, she knew he was special. From that very moment, he saved her from being killed, being stoned. She knew he was special. And she wanted more. She wanted more from him. My brother insisted. But the man Judah Iscariot, one of them. Hallelujah. Why was this perfume not so, and the money being given to the poor? Oh, there are things that cannot be sold for money, my brothers and sisters. There are things that cannot be bought with money, my brothers and sisters. That giving it to the Lord has a higher value than you selling it. Offering it to the Lord has a higher value. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. I had a card, a Mitsubishi card. It was a nice card back in the 90s. And I wanted to buy a minivan. So I had the pastor with the brother in the church. My brother and sister, but I know the Lord has provided me with this car, and I knew it was a good car. And when I heard a pastor, minister that came to preach in our church, we invited, that he had a need, that his daughter needed a car for college, but they did not have the money. Immediately in my spirit, I knew that I had to give my car to her, donate it. My car was not worthy to be sold. God gave it to me. I had to give it to someone else of God. My brother and sister. And I heard when he said she's been praying and crying to God to provide her for this car. And she's been waiting at the Lord and the Lord so she can go to college or she would not be able to. And she cried and cried and waited. My brother and sister. I immediately knew in my spirit, if God spoke to me, give it to her. Give it to her. Hallelujah. My stronger was the voice of God, the one in me, ministering to me to give the car away. Hallelujah. And when I did, the blessing, the anointing that was on me so strong that night, the joy and the peace I had, it is indescribable. My brother and sister, giving that card away opened the door for me to be being blessed. Because the word was, I will bless you. Hallelujah. And my pastor walked toward me and said, God will bless you for this. And I said, oh, I know, I know, I know. Like Mary, my eyes were open to seeing his blessing. I had never locked a vehicle. Since the day I gave the card away, I had never locked from having a vehicle. God had always provided me with a vehicle, and even one extra if I asked. My brother and sister, that blessing I gave opened the door for me to being blessed. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, God will do this. I heard the prophet say that this year in 2023, the Lord says to her, if people want to receive a blessing from me, they got to bless somebody else. Hallelujah. They got to bless somebody else. If you want God to provide you with what you need, think about you being a provider to someone else. Because we think me, 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 me. But I'm going to tell you something biblical tonight. It is better to give than to receive. It is better your brother or sister first than you. We think the other way. We got to turn that around in us. My brother and sister. In order for me to receive, I had to give first. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. Because I know the complaint when you're lacking something, but you never gave anything. I know that feeling. I know that. I experienced that in myself. It was when I gave that I received. Receiving came possible to me after I gave first. My brother and sister, I came to the Lord, gave my life to Jesus. I was young. And there was a need. A pastor sent a letter to our pastor that they have many family who needed clothing, food. They were in need of these things. That if they could help them, at least monthly, if our church could monthly help them with donation for this, apart from the tithes and offering to our local church. And the pastor says, raise your hand those that would like to help these family monthly. We will send donation to the church so the pastor can distribute and help this mother with children, with clothing, with food. And I raise my hand. And I say, yes, I know I had little. But I said, yes, my brother and sister, and begin to help other people first than my need. And when you do this, it's like you open a fountain for your life. It's like I had a creek, very small, of water coming to me. But as I began to give, that creek began to be bigger. It turned into a river. And as I gave and gave more, the river was becoming big and bigger until it turned into a lake, and then it turns into the ocean, Niagara Falls, coming to your life. My brother and sister, I know there's a Niagara Falls coming my way. I'm waiting for it, my brother and sister. But meanwhile, we get to the poor, and we wait for the Niagara Falls. Hallelujah. A lot of people don't have that small creek yet because all they think about is what they need. They don't think about giving. Start with something small. It can start with a penny or a quarter. A penny. Brother, it'll be a penny. Starts with a penny or a quarter. When the widow came, gave in the temple, there were people there giving thousands. And they asked Jesus who gave the most. And Jesus says, the widow. Although she gave so little, she gave all she had. You don't understand. If this widow had a quarter or a penny, to God she gave more than all the Pharisees and scribes gave there. My brother and sister, it's not the amount. When you learn to give, it's not the amount. It's your heart is to give, and you give a quarter, God will supply you to give a dollar. And when God supplies you to give a dollar, it goes to 5, it goes to 10, it goes to 25, it goes to 100, it goes to 200, it goes to 500. And you find yourself giving thousands of dollars. And without you thinking about it, how can you get thousands of dollars in donation? God can take you there. God can take you there. My brother and sister, he's the owner of silver and gold. Give him that. God will take you there. And then when he shows you how, it's because you're already receiving 100 times more than that. Not 10. You're given 10. You're given 10 because God's giving you 100. And you're given 10 out of the 100. See what's happening here? You're focused on the little, and God is taking you to the most. Jesus said it's 100% in this life and the life to come. So when you're able to give $1,000, it's because you're getting 10. And when you're able to get $10,000, because you're getting 100. You see how God takes you? My brother and sister, Lord, help us. God can take us there. Hallelujah. And he'll put challenge in our lives. But don't worry about the challenge. The challenge is, the test and trial in our life is to not for us to go backward, but it's actually for us to be refined like gold. That's why gold is being used as an example. Hallelujah. The potter house, dirt, is used as an example. Because beautiful vessels are made out of dirt. How can from dirt end up a beautiful vessel in the potter house? My brother and sister. There was Sister Juana who's in heaven. That God showed me her in heaven. She used to make out of dirt beautiful potter that she lived. My brother and sister, she made them, and that's how she supported her family, because her husband got sick. As he got older, he ended up in bed sick most of his life. She was supporting her children and her husband, my brother and sister. But she made this beautiful vessel, my brother and sister. God provided everything to her, but it started little by little. It started her giving, and then God kept increasing her. A lot of people want to receive, and that's the wrong attitude with God. That's the wrong attitude. That's why Jesus says better to give than to receive. Better. What is better for you? Better is anything that is blessed. Anything that is not blessed is not better. Better is anything that is blessed by God. God blesses Abraham. You see? After he gave, isn't that incredible? Not before, after. Because he gave from his heart, by faith. Hallelujah. And then Abraham received a blessing. And then he received the promise. Hallelujah. Notice how everything in God follows in order. People want it the other way around. It doesn't work that way. It works the way God established it in his word. And the Jewish people know this for thousands of years. It has to be according to how God said it in his word. He made the call unto Abraham's life as he made it into our life also. Abraham by faith gave the tithes and offering. He walked by faith. Then Melchizedek, priest of righteousness, blessed him. My brother and sister. But he blessed him because Abraham walked in righteousness. Hallelujah. Also, obedient. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So the obedience of Abraham in regard to the calling of God, hallelujah, brought him to where God can bless him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm looking for that verse here where God says to Abraham, hallelujah, to walk perfect before him. Hallelujah. When the Lord appeared to him, my brother and sister, these are the words he speak to him. Hallelujah. Verse 13, 19, he be blessing him, said, be blessed, Abraham, as the Most High possessor of heaven and earth. So just to let him know that God, the greater one, was the one who blesses him. Hallelujah. The one that will be with him in his journey. Because God is sending him in a journey, my brother and sister, to the promised land. The land that he needed now to go buy. And in order for him to go buy that land, he needed to have the money. My brother and sister, the exchange, as they did in the olden day, which as we say, the money. Hallelujah. 17:1, and when Abraham was 99 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Hallelujah. Why did God say to him to be being perfect? Hallelujah. The other translation of here, thank you, Lord, let me, the Messianic Bible, says, Abraham was 99, other night appeared Abraham and said, I know shall I, God Almighty, walk in my precept and be pure hearted. Because God talks to him about righteousness. God is the God of righteousness, the Prince of righteousness. as Melchizedek is introduced to Abraham. So now here, pure-hearted. And that is exactly, my brother and sister, what Jesus said to his disciple in Matthew 5. My brother and sister, it's exactly what he says to them. Hallelujah. How blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So it's pure in heart. Hallelujah. At this moment, God appeared to him. And in Matthew 5, 9, that in order for us to see God, we need to have the pure heart. So Abraham had the pure heart at this moment. But here, God is telling him is, continue to walk this way. Okay? Because in the land, there was so much wickedness and evil, they could have contaminated his heart. My brother and sister, just like Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah had so much trouble with those people because they were trying to contaminate him. And we that are in the world, people can be trying to contaminate us. So in the Messianic Bible says, God to him, hallelujah, to walk in a pure heart. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. To be of a pure heart. Walk in my presence and be pure hearted. This is important. Hallelujah, because anything can contaminate your heart. And Jesus talks about the heart, hallelujah, that the heart that can be contaminated, my brother and sister, which it's necessary. The Bible talks about the heart of stone. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about heavy heart. In order for a heart to be heavy, what is in the heart? What had come to that person's life that the heart had come come heavy in sin? I believe it's Mark 7. I'm going there, my brother and sister. Because Jesus began to give a list of the things that are coming out of the heart. What got to this heart that filled this life, this person's heart? It's filled with, and this is the heart of the Pharisee and scribe that the Lord is describing, because they are the one he's telling the disciple not to be careful with the leaven of the Pharisee, my brother and sister, that they will not be contaminated with the leaven of the Pharisee, because the Pharisee heart was full of lust, full of wickedness, of evil. Hallelujah. And the heart, when it's full of sin, is deceitful than all things, the Bible says also. Hallelujah. If our heart is not pure, if our heart is full of sin, it's deceitful more than all things, my brother and sister. And we have to be careful that our heart is full of sin. It can be full of gluttony. It can be full of lust. Hallelujah. Jesus gave a whole list of the things that will come out of the heart, my brother and sister. That is not what men eat that will contaminate them. Nothing that you can eat will contaminate your spiritual life. It can harm your body. Okay? There will be those that can kill the body. Hallelujah, but not kill your body, soul, and spirit. They can kill your body. That's why you got to be careful what you eat. My brother and sister, they will not be able to kill your soul and spirit, but they can kill your body, Jesus said. Hallelujah. So we have to be careful, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Matthew 9:4, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why think ye evil in your heart? Notice that they can think evil. This is a thinking process going on in the heart, in the Pharisee, the heart of the Pharisees. My brother and sister. And Jesus revealed it to them. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. And then Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, all generations of viper, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And this is why nothing good was coming out of the Pharisees and scribe. Nothing good. Actually, foul language was coming out of them. Imagine spiritual leaders speaking foul language. That's what is coming out of the heart, out of the mouth. Why would the foul language coming out of the mouth? Because the heart was full of evil. My brother and sister, anything evil, wickedness in our heart will make us speak for fourth language, foul language. Okay? Like unforgiveness will make you speak foul language. My brother and sister, we got to be careful with these things. Hallelujah. But look what Jesus said in Matthew 12:35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart. Look what he called the heart. Good treasure. See, your heart is treasure before God. Your heart is a treasure before God. A lot of people, oh, the heart is so evil. The heart is so wicked. You got to understand why did the Lord spoke in a certain way? Why did he call the heart evil in a certain case? But look now, referring to the heart of a good man. A good man out of the good of the treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Hallelujah. An evil man out of the evil treasure bring forward evil things. You see, he makes the difference in regard to people. Because not everyone has an evil heart, a contaminated heart, a lusting heart. Not everyone has it. Not everyone lives the same. Not everyone behaves the same. Not everyone speaks the same. My brother and sister. And so this is why the Lord was teaching the disciple this way. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Then Matthew 13:5, for this people heart was gross, their ear of dull and hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with the ear and should understand their heart and should be converted, that I should heal them. Notice that healing comes after you are converted in your heart. This is what Jesus is not, you know. That's why it's hard to explain healing to someone. Because certain healing, first the heart is healed, the spiritual life, and then you get physical healing. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. I was listening to a testimony earlier of this woman who had a witchcraft life, lesbian life. I mean, she did it all, as they say. But the Lord called her with love, and she began to repent. She had a sickness on her back since she was young, and it caused a horrible back pain. At least she said she was under medication. And here's the thing. After she gave her life to the Lord a second time, this is the time when she got set free in her heart. She got healed afterward, right away, in the same service. After her heart got healed, her back got healed. And I believe this. I believe this for many years. That sometimes sickness is related to your spiritual life. Okay? And there are things that we need to repent, confess, and depart from. Hallelujah. That in order for us to receive healing. One of the examples, my pastor used to use Proverbs, hallelujah, Proverbs 28, 5, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 13. Whosoever cover his sins does not prosper. Whosoever confess and abandon them, we see compassion. Now, I got to look on this because different translations were explained differently. And thank you, Lord. It is good to go to them and get a better understanding, or help us understand it even better. I don't know how many of you go through different translations just to get a better understanding. Here in the American Standard Version Bible say, he that hath covered his transgression shall not prosper, but whoever confess and forsake them shall obtain mercy. In her testimony, she says, she knew that she needed to confess the things that she was doing, and she did. And that's how she ended up getting her healing. Heart first, and then she got her physical healing. My brother and sister, which it's awesome when someone can testify and say it. Hallelujah. But he that conceal his sins will not succeed. He who confess and abandon them will gain mercy. Hallelujah. Mercy is Jesus. My brother and sister, he's mercy. He has grace and he has mercy also. And you, when you attain Messiah, Jesus, you attain healing. Because by his stripe, by his wound, we are healed. Hallelujah. The Living Bible says, a man who refuses to admit his mistake can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Our God is a God of a second chance. My brother and sister, if you miss your chance, go back with the Lord in repentance. Sister Amy shared one time that she prayed, said, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart, O Lord. Reveal me what's in my heart. Show me what is not pleasing to you in my heart, Lord. Hallelujah, that I may repent of it and be, hallelujah, cleanse of it. And I thought it was such an awesome prayer, the way she explained it. It was here on the Lord's Tower years ago. She'll pray. She said, I always pray to ask the Lord to search my heart. David prayed it this way, to reveal me the things in my heart not pleasing to him. How many of you have done this? Don't assume that everything is fine because you received the Lord many years ago. Ask the Lord to show you what is in your heart. Whatever it is, whatever it is, don't assume you know what it is. No. Whatever the Lord shows you in a dream and a vision, reveal to you, speak to you, because he will. I know a lot of people say, Brother Abby, ask the Lord to give me a word or reveal you this. Listen, ask the Lord to speak to you through a dream or a vision. And you can write and say, Brother Abby, pray with me that the Lord will give me a dream or a vision. You want to have the Lord directly speak to you. It's very important in our relationship with him that he will speak to us and that we will seek him to speak to us. My brother and sister, please do that. Seek that directly from Jesus, because he is closer to you than anyone. He knows you better than what you know yourself. Here's another thing. People think that they know themselves. You don't know yourself like God knows you. You're not even close. God knows you better, I would say, millions of times more than what you know yourself. So when you ask him to reveal you what is in you that is not pleasing to him, and he shows you, don't get mad. Oh, how can he show me that? Don't get mad. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Heal me, Lord. I confess that I repent. You show me that I need to repent this, Lord. Thank you. Help me, Jesus. Help me. The Lord, remember the Lord revealing me, I had against brothers and sisters, my brother and sister, unforgiveness. And when Jesus revealed it to me, I said, Lord, but they were the one who offended me. Huh? Are you listening? I was trying to convince Jesus that what he was showing me was not fair, because they offended me. And I got hurt when they offended me. And Jesus was telling me that I needed to forgive them. But I was telling back to the Lord that they were the one who offended me, that I didn't do anything for them to offend me. My brother and sister, I was trying to convince the God of the universe, hallelujah, that they were the one. My brother and sister, and the Lord says to me, I want you to forgive them. Hallelujah. And I said, Lord, help me. I try, and in prayer, I don't know for how many weeks and months, repenting. And then, again, the Lord says, you still have unforgiveness to your brothers and sisters. I'm like, oh, my Lord. I was struggling. Okay? And he says to me, this is when Jesus says to me, why didn't you ask me to help you with it? To me, it was like a powerful light bulb was put over my head. Boom. And he turned it on over me. Why didn't you ask me to help you? That's what he told his disciple in John 15:4, without me, there's nothing you can do. Because we're trying to deal with a lot of these spiritual things on our own. It's not possible. It's just not possible. That's why Jesus told his disciple, without me, there's nothing you can do. Was Peter, John, Matthew, and them struggling, Luke struggling? Yes, they were struggling. So what did they learn? They learned to depend on Jesus. That's why he told them in John 15, without me, there's nothing you can do. When they learned to depend on Jesus later on, that's when they began to walk as minister, apostle, because they first was disciple. And then he had called them already to be apostle at the end, but they were still struggling with everything. Everything was so difficult for them yet. But when Jesus said to them, without me, there's nothing you can do. And they began to understand that with God, is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Father God Almighty, all things are possible, he said. That's when they started, the light bulb started coming into the brain and said, oh, he wants us to depend on him to deal with all these things, our emotion, the pain, the unforgiveness, the struggle. He's asking us to keep his word, to be holy, to be righteous. This is what he meant now, for us to depend on him for all these things, not just for us to try to do it on our own, with our own strength, our own knowledge, our own understanding. Listen to how God said it to the prophet. It's not by mind. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Are you receiving this? Oh, Lord, you are so good. By my spirit, saith the Lord. You got to have the help of the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus in us. The hope of glory. It's the only way we can do this. Any other way is struggle and failing and failure and headaches and pain. And why God, I can do this? Why am I so unfaithful to you, oh Lord? I remember those days. I tried to do it on my own, and it was impossible. Kept falling on my face. My God, why? Why? We need his help every day. Lord, help us. Help us, Jesus. Without you, there's nothing we can do. When I said that back to the Lord one day, the Lord answered me back and says, I am glad you understand that. He says to me, all right, Lord. He answered me back this way. He was glad I finally understand that without him, there's nothing we can do. But it took me years struggling, making mistakes, sinning, hallelujah, missing the mark. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Now when I'm struggling, I just ask the Lord to help me. Lord, help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. And I beg like a child, like a baby for milk, that he would help me. He's always loving, he's always patient, and he's always helping me. Hallelujah. Why do you think he has a title, the Savior of the world? Hallelujah. That if God is for us, who can come against us? There's so many titles he has in his word for us to know. Hallelujah. The Lord is our helper, my brother and sister. When we learn to depend on him, you will walk mile with him, an endless mile, in the spirit with him. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Oh, he's speaking to someone tonight. Someone needed to hear this word tonight. I can feel his anointing all over me. Thank you, Lord. He's speaking to someone. It's someone that needed to hear this word tonight. Thank you, Jesus. He knows our need. He knows what we need before we ask. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Mighty Jesus. Hallelujah. With God. Hallelujah. All things are possible. But it has to be with him. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Matthew 19:26, I almost said it in Spanish. But Jesus beheld them. You know what he's doing there? He's looking at them. He's standing right there in front of them, looking at the disciple or the people. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. He beheld them. The way we say it in the more modern translation is, let me take a good look at you. Let me take a good look at you. Let me look at you, some of the people say. Let me look at you real good. Hallelujah. He beheld them. Hallelujah. You can always say he got a hold of them. Hallelujah. So Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. So we know that with God, all things are possible. So what is he teaching us? To learn to depend on God. God, what is God? God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are three that give witness in heaven. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, John says in his letter. So when you are in heaven standing, the third heaven, third level, I'll give you an example. You'll see the Father, the person of the Father. You'll see the person of Jesus. And you'll see the person of the Holy Spirit. God is one. Hear, O ye Israel, for the Lord your God is one. Hallelujah. But he's in three persons, my brother and sister. And he gives testimony. You'll see Jesus speaking to certain people. You see the Father speaking with certain people. You see the Holy Spirit speaking to other people. And all three are having three different conversations. And you wonder, how is this? Brother Richard asked the same question in heaven. He saw Jesus everywhere, speaking to different people, having different conversations. How is this? With God, all things are possible. Barbarians, to men, this is impossible. Because we know we cannot divide ourselves and multiply ourselves like in a video game to speak with different people about different topics. That is impossible for us. But with God, all things are possible. Barbarians, sister. Brother Larry asked Father, Father, how many planets are you running up there? Were there a creation of you? My son. More than a billion. Father, and are you God in all of them? Yes, my son. I am God in all of them. And over a billion planets. Larry was sharing this with me. I was like, what? Yeah, Father said this to me. Brother Irby. And I was like, wow. Over a billion planets. And in all of them, him, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit are God. And they're all going to hear, having different conversations, different things. And God is God in all of them. My brother and sister, you will not tell the difference. He is almighty. And all knee has to bow to him. Think about it. We know so little. I asked the Lord, now I can say it. I asked the Lord, Lord, please allow me to be taken to other planet in heaven that I can see it, Lord. I would like to see them. And here, one thing I learned, because we are here still in this body, and we're not in that glorified body yet. If it happens and we are taken to this planet, we won't be able to deal with such a glory. And the Lord takes me to heaven and had an elder grab me by my hand from my back and began to fly to me to this planet. And as we were going up, I was amazed at the things I was seeing. My brothers and sisters, I was seeing things that I had not shared on the Lord Yahweh yet. Unless the Lord leads me to share, I will share. But as I was being taken up, the glory in each of those planets was so powerful that it knocked me out completely. The glory of God, it knocked me out. I remember having no more strength. I wanted to see more, but that was it. The elder had to take me down after flying lights of years up. And I knew we were going up at a speed unheard of, unknown of, my brother and sister. But I asked the Lord, hallelujah, me not knowing that we're not ready for such a glory, for such a knowledge and revelation. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. But God is good. And he says, ask, and thou shalt receive, he said. So he was giving me what I was asking him, especially when you ask by faith, my brother and sister. He'll answer you. Thing is, will you be able to deal with such a glory? That's the question, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. I am careful what I say because I saw things in those planets that were amazing. Hallelujah. And surprisingly, Lord, please let me know if I can. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Because the revelations are amazing. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Let me move on. Thank you, Lord. Mark 10:27, Jesus looking upon them, remember, Matthew said beheld them, Luke says looking upon them, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Hallelujah. Let me get a good look at you, disciple, a multitude. And he explained to them that with God, all things are possible. A lot of people are finding that so difficult on the earth. But it has to do with our commitment with him, our dependency on him. See, when you pray a lot, you are humbling yourself. When you pray, when you believe, you are depending on him. When you seek him, you are humbling yourself. And blessed is us the humble, the word of God says. Hallelujah. The meek, for they will inherit the earth. In order for you to inherit, you got to humble yourself before God. My brother and sister, hallelujah. God has said things in a way that if we follow or submit to his will, hallelujah, we will receive his promise. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I was looking at, let me see if it's a Jewish Bible, that was talking about humility. Hallelujah. Zechariah 2:3. Seek Adonai, all you humble in the land, you who exercise his justice. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. You might be hidden in the day of Adonai anger. In the day of the Lord's anger, if you seek these things from God,
the prophet of the Lord, Zechariah, said that you will be hearing in the days of anger. Now here, 2023, we begin the days of the Lord, of avenging of the Lord, of anger. This day that just began here, we will be hidden by God if we seek out of mine, all you humble in the land. You who seek, exercise his justice, seek righteousness, seek humility, that you might be hidden in the day of our night anger. My brother insisted, this is how we're going to be protected from the judgment that is already coming on the U.S. and the world. And it's going to be showing more and more. I already heard that in the youth shooting this year, 2023 was a greater year than 2019 and those years before. In 2023, there's already, I think it's over 100 shooting already, just in the United States, of youth shooting other people. My brother insisted, and this month is not even over, in this new year. Hallelujah. We can already see the judgment happening in different way. Sister was telling me from Texas that this really bad temperature, bad weather coming into Texas today. It's been coming. I don't know. I didn't ask how many days. But it was like what was happening in California now is beginning in Texas. Okay? I said that this will be going over the different state. Okay? Look at the flooding in Texas. Look at the billions of dollars already of damage in Texas. It's now beginning with California. And there are other states also being affected. My brother insisted. And in India, flooding has just been incredible. In some part of China, the same. We can already see the same behavior. I believe it was Argentina or Chile also. It's been nonstop. They were showing a desert. Was it in Spain? There's been flooding and flooding. When usually in those deserts, it doesn't rain. It doesn't rain. People that's been there all, close to 100, you know, it doesn't rain. Why have, by the end of 22, going into 23, it's raining nonstop there. They cannot explain that. Rain in the desert. My brother, that's crazy. It's crazy weather, they think it is. Not supposed to be happening this way because it's a time of judgment. It's like in the times of Noah, it never rained. And it was crazy for a preacher like Noah to get up and say, God said that with the flood, he's going to destroy the earth. It's going to rain for 40 days and 49, and God is going to destroy the earth with a flood. Everyone thought he was crazy. It doesn't make sense for them. Because you had elder back then of 400, 500, 600, 700 years who never saw anything like what Noah was speaking of. They never saw anything like it in the 500, 600 years of age. And Noah, son of Lamech, rise and said that there will be a flood coming, God said to him, in which the earth will be destroyed with 40 days and 40 nights of rain. No one, not even one person, believe him. My brother and sister, not his neighbor, not his brother, not his uncle. No one believe him, not even his family believe him. I mean, he got his wife in and his three sons and their wife, and that's it. That's it. Nobody else, the neighborhood, I mean, the co-worker, nobody believed Noah, nobody. Hallelujah. Not even a single member of his church was there. My brother and sister. At his Pentecostal evangelical church, not a single member was there. Okay? And if it was an Orthodox church, not a single member of the Orthodox church was there. Not even the rabbi that gave their service was there. None of them believed Noah. And the similar condition is happening today. When God tells us of this judgment beginning, and you say, oh, you crazy, you know. But now it's raining in the wilderness and the desert that always been hot for thousands of years. It's raining crazy, like crazy. Now something began to make sense.
They live repenting for the last. If it happens, what this brother is saying, if it happens, they say, then I'll repent. But for now, I don't have time for that. Bye, brother and sister. But now the signs are speaking for themselves. Hallelujah. And it's starting to make sense. Hallelujah. Flood are happening more and more. And now is when it's going to start. Psalm 18:30 says, you give me your shield, which is salvation. Your right hand hold me up. Your humility make me great. Humility makes us great, my brother and sister. Humbling yourself is not a shame. It will actually make you great before God. It will make you great in heaven. When they look at you in heaven, they say, there is a great man of God. There is a great woman of God when you humble yourself. Hallelujah. I was taken to a community in heaven I shared years ago. And in that community with this great angel who was, I believe, in charge of that community, although they were serving of the Lord, redeemed there also, but I was having a conversation with the angel, and he asked me who I was. My brother and sister, and I think the question goes beyond, what is your name, where do you come from? That's not what he was asking me, because a lot of people, when I share the story, that's what the first thing they think. Oh, he didn't know you were coming from the earth. He didn't know you were serving of Jesus. That's not what he's asking me. That was not the question he was asking me. He already knew all that. They're going to ask you in heaven, hallelujah, who are you? And the question is, oh, it's not that you're coming from the earth. It's not that I used to live in this house on the earth and my parents were so-and-so. That's not, hallelujah. It's where you are, where God. What is you are serving? Hallelujah. And when you tell them who you are in him, when your spirit will flow the word of power. Wow. Hallelujah. He will give you the word at that very moment, the Bible says. Hallelujah. So when I said to him, I'm just a servant of the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, oh, you don't know what great is being a servant of the Lord, he says to me. What a great honor, he says. Being a servant of the Lord, he says. Hallelujah. Because the Lord wanted me to hear that. He wanted to minister to me through that knowledge of knowing what a servant of the Lord is. The Bible said, Revelation 22:21, and his servant was serving. Hallelujah. It's a great blessing, privilege, honor in heaven to be in a servant. Now here says, hallelujah, that our humility will make us great. If people can only understand. People on earth think when they graduate that prideful, being prideful or graduating college or whatever, getting a degree, a high position, they think that pride is what gives them joy. Wrong. My brother and sister, that is not recognized in heaven at all. Anything that has to do with pride in heaven is nothing, has no value. My brother and sister, with God. But when you are able to do it in humility, to glorify God, oh, what an honor that gives. Again, let me read it to you. Psalm 18:36, you give me, this is from the Complete Jewish Bible, in case you're wondering. And I have to do this. These people took, I don't know, for 20 or 30 years or more, to translate the Bible. And this is the way they did it, in case you're wondering. This Complete Jewish Bible. It was translated. You know how the Bible, Old Testament is Hebrew. New Testament has Greek, Latin, and all that. So the Jewish people don't trust the Greek and don't trust the Latin language neither. Okay, so what they did is they took the Bible, the word that they spoke in Greek, Latin, and all that, and they translated it back to Hebrew. Okay?
from Hebrew, then they translate it back to English. Okay? Because a lot of Bible, like the King James, an example, are translated from the original Greek, Latin, Hebrew to English. That's how they did it. Okay? The Jewish people doesn't trust that. They don't trust that, my brothers and sisters. In order for them to receive, that's why so many are being saved in the last days, and especially since this Bible was translated. This rabbi, this messianic rabbi, after receiving Jesus as the Lord and Savior, okay, they went into prayer and they went seeking God. They went fasting together as a group. And they translated the Bible from Latin to Hebrew, from Greek to Hebrew, all back to Hebrew, to the original. And then from Hebrew, they took it and translated it back to English. And this is where we get the complete Jewish Bible. If you don't have this Bible, you want to go online. Amazon has it. Believe even also has it. It will bless you. I asked the Lord about this Bible. He likes it a lot. Okay? He let me know he liked this Bible. This translation is really good, my brother and sister. And so here's an example. Psalm 18:36. You give me your shield, which is salvation. Your right hand hold me up. Your humility makes me great. Okay? Which you're not going to get that from the King James or in other Bible. That his humility will make us great. Because that's exactly how it is in heaven. Humility is what makes us great in heaven. Give us great honor. My brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 22:4. The reward of humility is fear of Adonai, along with wealth, honor, and life. There you go. See how humility is tied to honor and even life, my brothers and sisters? This is the way it is in heaven. Humility will give you honor in heaven, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. Acts 20:19. Serving the Lord with much humility and with tears, in spite of the test, it had undergone because of the plot on the unbelieving Jews. This was the life of the disciple. But look how humility is honor, is recognized, is exalted here. They exalted humility, which pride is honor and exalted in our days. Wrong. Not in heaven. These men, in order to translate this Bible, they prayed. They sought the Lord. Make sure God was leading them. My brother and sister. Galatians 5:23. Humility, self-control, nothing in the Torah stand against such a thing. Thank you, Lord. If you walk this way, Paul says, nothing in the Bible stands against such a thing. Torah, Bible. Okay? It's incredible. And Torah is the revelation, actually. Tanakh is the Bible. Torah is the revelation. Okay? There's no revelation against humility and self-control. Brother and sister, that is incredible. Incredible, incredible. Hallelujah. And the Bible talks about here the spirit of humility, Galatians 6:1. Brother, suppose someone is caught doing something wrong. You who hate the spirit to set him right, but in the spirit of humility, keeping an eye on yourselves that you won't be tempted to. Setting someone who had gone astray, who's doing things, it's going to take the Lord to help you with it, to help someone. But you have to be walking in humility. This is why a lot of people have a problem helping other people and the Lord get up again, because they're not walking in humility. Pride is to bring someone down. Humility is to lift someone, my brother and sister. And unless you're walking in true humility, you cannot help anyone to be lifted. And that's why a lot of people are having trouble with helping other people, hallelujah, stand in the Lord, be firm. Hallelujah. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of rivalry or vanity, but in humility regard each other as better than yourself. Hallelujah.
Regard each other better than yourself. Now, this can only be done in humility. There's no way possible you can think of someone being better than you unless you're humble. Unless you're humble. You hear people all the time, oh, no one's better than me. What do they think? No, talking about humility here. My brother and sister, think about for a second the King of Kings lowering himself lower than the angel to serve us. My brother and sister, he created the angel. How can he lower himself lower than the angel when that is his creation? He did it. How can he do such a thing? Humility. Lord, help us. Help us, Jesus. Help us, help us, help us to being humble. It's the only way he could have done it. There's no other way possible under the sun that a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, where hundreds of thousands of billions of millions worship him in heaven, can decide to humble himself lower than the angel, lower than his creation, to come and do the will of the Father. Oh, Lord. That's why when people think that when the Lord takes me to heaven, I'm up there asking the Lord all kinds of questions. I don't want to ask questions. See, that's the thing. I don't want to ask questions. I want to listen. I want to listen. The Bible says that for us to be quick to listen and not to talk. That's humility. Humility will keep our mouth shut in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And just let him talk. As we talk before he talks, it's pride. The Bible insisted. If we listen, we humble ourselves and listen, it's humility. Lord, help us to be humble. Help us, help us, help us, Lord. Please, Lord, we're drowned in our pride. We're choking our pride, oh Lord, help us. Help us, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, her holy and dear love, clothe yourself with feeling of compassion and with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Hallelujah. How do you clothe yourself? How do you clothe all these things? Hallelujah. Clothe yourself. What is it? You go to your closet and you take a coat and you put it on and oh, this is a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, a lot of humbleness. A lot of you not humbling ourselves, crying out to God for help. That's how we clothe ourselves. We repent our sins every day, our trespasses. The Apostle Paul says to the Colossians, clothe yourself. Jesus said in Revelation 3, so that your nakedness will not be seen. If we don't clothe ourselves, our nakedness will be seen. The sin that we see us will be all over us, will be the dread, will be the shame, because that is shame that will be shown in our lives. When you are sinning and sinning and sinning and you're not repenting, what can be seen in your spiritual life is shame, sin, loss. But when you are repenting daily and the blood of Jesus is cleansing you, you are clothed. Hallelujah. You are clothed, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord, by the clothes of righteousness of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. James 3:13. Who among you is wise in understanding? Let him demonstrate by the good way of life, by action done in humility, that grows out of wisdom. God, help us. Help us, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Imagine. Can you imagine Hallelujah. Who among you is wise and understanding? He goes to Asia. The Apostle Paul by this time had made like three trips to Asia. These churches in Asia were thousands of members. Then as one of the last, Jane comes to them. And he stands in the pulpit among thousands of people. And he brings this message. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him demonstrate by his good way of life, by action, done, and humility, that grows out of wisdom. If you're walking in humility, James says, it's going to be shown. It's going to be shown. It's the good man that out of the gift, out of goodness of his heart, he give good word, good action, good behavior. It's, James says that it will be shown. It will be shown by brothers and sisters. God help us to show who we are in the Lord. Not say, a lot of people like to say, oh, I'm just a humble servant of the Lord. Excuse me? And then behave like a beast. Oh, no. It's by our action. I'm just a humble servant, they say. And then out of my way. And push you aside. Acting like beast. No, not the way. Not the way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My wife helped my neighbors. We like to get to the poor and our neighbors. And we teach this and we do it. And my neighbor said, why are you giving to these people? And my wife said to her, you know that God will bless you if you will help them. Ah, but these people, you know, always begging and asking. I just want them out of my way. I said, no. We give them. God will bless us for that. Don't judge them. Don't kick them away. If you can help them with something, give it to them. Ah, but you don't know if they're going to use it for drugs or whatever. Listen, if you think that if you're going to give them a few dollars and they're going to use it for drugs, be wise. And don't give them the dollar. Give them some food. If you can give them some clothing, give them some clothing. But if you think that the money you're giving the poor, they're going to use it for drugs, give them food. I go and stand by the side, and I call them. Come here. I want to give you something. They run to the car, and I gave them food. And I see when they're eating the food right there. Some very rare occasion they're not eating it. But I see them eating them right there. And I said to my children, did you see how hungry this person was? I went to a guy to give him food. You know what he says to me? I had not ate nothing in about 3 days. He was pale. You can see him walking with dizziness. And he says to me, I have not ate nothing in 3 days. And I gave him the food immediately. I like to give it to them sealed. And he opened it up and began to eat it. Already cooked sealed. Give him a bottle of water. And he was eating so desperate. He said, God bless you. He was eating it so desperate. He says to me, and with tears in his eyes, I have not ate in 3 days. I said to my children, you see, if we are going to judge people because they got dirty clothes, they're sleeping on the road, and they're probably using drugs, and all, you don't judge people. We are not called to judge anyone. We're no judge. Jesus came, said that he didn't come to judge, he came to save. Let's follow the same example. Forget about judging people. Oh, who knows if that person was on drugs. Well, what are you, a judge? No. Let's do what God says to do. Let's help them. If you think they're going to use it for drugs, don't give them cash. Give them food. Thank you, Lord. And watch them eat hungry. Hallelujah. That's our reward right there. When I read in the Old Testament, God told the priests that he gave them the poor and the widow for them to take care of the world. I was stunned when I came across that verse in the Bible, Old Testament. God has given the church the poor of the earth to support it. And we, the church, are not doing that. A lot of people are judging them instead of helping them. My brother and sister, what a bad example. We can't be. No. Let's do what Jesus would do. Let's do what he did. Let's follow his example. Let's not go around judging people. Let's help them. Let us stand a hand to them. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Now my children have learned to be a giver. Now they want to go to the store to buy food with me so they can give to the homeless. My brother and sister, and it delight me. It might delight to see my children feeding the hungry with such a love. My brother and sister, something that they learn. They see me doing it now. They're doing it with me. They said, Dad, let's buy food for the homeless. Yes, let's do it. Thank you, Lord. They love it. They love it better to give than to receive. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Those are the things we need to teach our children. But do it by example also, not just saying it. If I'm only preaching and preaching and preaching it and not doing it, what example are they going to follow? They need to see me doing it. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister said she had a dream about a fallen angel coming, seeing the large flying saucer in the cloud and warning people that they were here. Okay. So, hallelujah. Yes. It's a job that God has given us that we've been failing at it. We've been failing, but it's never too late with God. Even if you do it a few days before the trumpet sound, do it. Do it. Do it. Even if it's a few hours before the trumpet sound, do it. My brother and sister, and watch. God will bless you. Your need will be taken care of by the Almighty. He's given us a job. Let's be responsible. We're not responsible as we should. My brother and sister, let's do it. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. 1 Peter 3:15. But treat Messiah as holy, as the Lord in your heart, while remaining always ready to give a reasoned answer to anyone who asks you to explain the hope that is in you, yet with humility and fear. It says that we should, if someone asks for an explanation of the hope that is in us, of the Lord that is in us, it says to do it with humility. You know how you know you're doing it with humility? When you exalt the Lord. Nothing about you. You know, you don't need to say, no, you know, when I was a child, No. Tell them what the Lord had done in your life. Oh, I really needed help. I was lost, you know, and I was going through so much, but I thank God because the Lord came to me, and the Lord helped me, and, you know, and began to exalt the Lord. He's so good. Man, right when I needed help, he was there for me. He opened the door. He supplied my need. You know, I was sick. He healed me. And, man, he's been so good to me. He's such a great God. Do it with humility. My brother and sister, remember Jesus, what did he do? He glorified the Father. Jesus is God. And he didn't went around telling people, hey, listen, I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God everywhere. No. I came to do the will of my Father, he said. My brother and sister, humble. He gave a glory to the Father. My brother and sister, that's how we have to do it. Just as he did it. My brother and sister, It's not about us. It's about him. Remember, it's about him. It's not about us. Thank you, Lord. In the last verse, 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you who are less experienced, submit to the leader. Further, all of you should clothe yourself in humility toward one another, because God opposes the arrogant, but to the humble he gives grace. To the humble he gives grace. May God give us grace. Lord, I pray you give us grace. You help us, Lord, in this walk to walk, Lord, that you have called us to be, to walk, to give an example, Lord, to be an example. Help us, Jesus. You know our struggle. You know our shortcomings, our weakness. Help us to overcome them every day, Lord Jesus. Overcome any temptation of the enemy every day, Lord, of this life, Lord, of anything that we may encounter. Help us to overcome them. In Jesus' name we pray. Mighty Lord, mighty God, thank you. Guide us and lead us. Hallelujah. And let us submit to your will, that not our will be done, but thy will be done. Praise you, Lord. God is good. My brother and sister, in his mercy, endure forever. Thank you, Lord. We thank God, my brother and sister. Amen. So, hallelujah. I'm not sure if Sister Carla will be on tomorrow. Brother Body will be on Friday. I will be back on Sunday. Continue to repent and clothe yourself in humility. Let's follow the example of the Lord, my brothers and sisters, that not our will be done, but the will of God be done in our life and nothing else. Shalom, shalom.
Hi, this is Vicki Goforth Parnell, and I have come to share an official proclamation that was given to me by the angel Gabriel today. Today is 1-6-23. This was at 5:35 p.m. when I started praying. I prayed for about an hour and a half, and then Gabriel and some other angels appeared. I am to start with this verse, Revelation 22:6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Revelation 22:6. Before we begin, I would like to pray. I will say this is 1-6-23. And I start praying at 5:35 p.m. And it and the visit ended at 8:22 p.m. It is the official proclamation of war, 3 days of darkness, and divorce. So please pray. Father God, I come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I ask you to lead how you want this prayer to be prayed over these people, over these videos, Lord, and the writings, whatever, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would send this proclamation forth, this word forth, Lord, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Father, your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish every single thing you set it out to do that you please it to do, Lord, as Isaiah 55:11 tells us in your holy word, your infallible word. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, I praise you, Lord. I praise you. Lord, I stand in the power of your name, and through your blood I am redeemed. I am washed and I am forgiven. I am a child of God and I know Jesus. I know with all that's in me you are my Savior, that you rose. You came to this earth as a baby, lived as a man, gave your life, rose again victorious. And there's only one way to heaven. And it is through you, and it is by grace that we're saved and not by works. So I give you praise. Now, Lord, this is a battle. And those that choose not to battle, I don't understand that. And I don't pick my fights, but you have told me every one of these videos would have an attack for me to pray in advance. So that's what I'm doing. I'm being obedient, Lord. So every plot, every gin, which is a snare and a trap, every plot, every gin, every snare, every device, every arrow, every sickness, Father God, in the name of Jesus, every electronic device, every technological device, every spiritual device, every physical device that has been formed against me, this ministry, my family, this word, this proclamation from going out, whether it be through video, audio, or through reading, I come against it and cancel it in the name of Jesus. And I stand on Isaiah 54:17, which says, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Doesn't mean they will not form, but they shall not, it says shall not prosper. I stand on your word. And Lord, even if prospering is my death, if I was to die, we are to count it all glory when we go to heaven. To live is to die for you, to live in you. What's the worst that can happen to us, Lord? Someone can take our life if you allowed it, only if you allowed it, and us get to be with you. I'm good, Lord. I am good. So every plot, gin, snare, device, every witchcraft, every occultic symbol, every pendant, amulet, every device, spiritual, witchcraft, I bind you. And I cast you down and I trample you and I cancel you out. Now every gainsaying, every gossiper, every liar, Father God, in the name of Jesus, you said vengeance is mine. Thus saith the Lord, I will recompense. So Lord, I just pray that goes back to them and you handle the judgment. And I pray, Lord, that you hold these things, though not to charge, not to their charge on my account. I forgive them. I love them. And I want everybody to go to heaven, but I know that's not the case because each person has a choice. So, Father God, those people that have eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart that's softened, bondages removed where they can hear the truth, send this out. Send this out to them, Lord. Those that be of fertile ground, fertile soil, that it's not going to, the seeds are not going to fall and shrivel up or Satan snatch them away. Send it out, Father. Send it out as only you can in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, I stand before you on judgment day for every word that I give, and I give every account. No man takes my place, nor do I take theirs. And I tremble in fear, God, when I stand here in your name. But you have you've commanded me to do this, and I will do this in Jesus' name. But Lord, I pray you shut me down, totally down, and not let this go forth if it is not meant to be, if it is not of you. Because God, I have laid it before you in prayer, and I have been seeking you, and you have said it's got to go out. So I'm going to be obedient regardless of what any person says or thinks. Because when they speak against the Holy Spirit in me, they're slandering the Holy Spirit and they're close to blaspheming. So, Father God, I pray for those that's not 100% sure, 100% sure, that don't know me or my fruit, that you deal with them, God, so that they don't eventually slip off into blaspheming. In Jesus' name I pray. I don't want anybody to go to hell. Especially not for me. Not for coming against me, Lord. No. So, Lord, let your perfect will be done on earth as it is in heaven in all things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bear with me. I love you. I love you, Lord. It would seem some people know how, and I'm not going to go into this, just pray. Know how to effectively use 5G to make people appear sick. but no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So stand on the word of God. All right, this is the official proclamation of war, 3 days of darkness and divorce. And again, it was 1-6-23, which is today, and the Lord told me I had to go out today. At 5:35 p.m. is when it started, and 8:22 is when it ended. Prayer, visitation, all of it. And it started with Jesus talking to me. Darkness comes, daughter. It does come. I am fighting your battles for you now, daughter. Watch me work wonders on your behalf. All of a sudden, I hear, hear ye, daughter of the kingdom of the Most High God. I bring you tidings from heaven's court. Jesus, I know that voice. I sense now a holy presence in my living room, more so than normal. I'm turning my head from where I am kneeling. It's the angel Gabriel, but he's not alone. May I get up? Yes, beloved daughter of heaven, you may. Gabriel is standing before me, still armor-clad, as in prior times, but this time he has wings extended behind that are somehow folding and becoming invisible to my sight. I apologize, there's some that he will not let me share, just the proclamation. Some of it was private. I look over at Gabriel and I smile at him slightly, letting him know he has my attention. Jesus, give me true understanding to all that's occurring. I ask in your name, please. Granted, daughter. Now please listen. Yes, Jesus, my love. I watch as Gabriel glances briefly at the other angels. Then Gabriel steps one step forward. Oh, daughter, I come in official capacity of holy messenger. Hear me now, then proclaim all that I have to share and nothing more, that I tell you to share and nothing more. I lead you to share. I apologize. Hear me now, then proclaim all that I lead you to share and nothing more. I want to get it exactly as they said it. Yes, Gabriel, I understand. Gabriel has produced a scroll that he had carried in what looks like a tube or a scroll holder. It has a belt that you wear over one shoulder, or the strap. The strap is gold, and the carrying case is gold, too. I watch as Gabriel opens the scroll holder quickly. The four angels accompanying Gabriel have all their weapons drawn, bows and arrows and lances, with each having a gleaming sword on each hip. My eyes are drawn back to the angel Gabriel as he removes the elegant-looking scroll from the decorated golden scroll holder that looks like it has intricate scroll work carved into it. It's beautiful. It was gold, but it had all this carving in it. This scroll is bigger than any he has brought or read from in the past. I watch as he breaks the black seal, and when he does, I feel a slight tremor go through my body. Not of fear, but of dread. Gabriel must have realized because he looked up for a moment from where he had begun unrolling the scroll. Our eyes made contact, and all I saw was gentleness and love, much like what my lovely Jesus' eyes looks like, but not as deep as my love's is. The scroll looks like a thick type parchment made with gold sparkles on the back, for lack of better words to describe what I'm seeing. The writing is in black. Excuse me. I apologize. Gabriel, may I ask a question? Yes, daughter of faith, of grace, of mercy, of understanding, of wisdom, of love, and of faithfulness. Why, when you appear before me, do you always have scrolls when in the Bible days it doesn't mention there being scrolls when you come. O daughter, you are hearing official announcements and proclamations of a time error in your world's history, the end times. This is why, through heaven's court's decrees, I shall deliver the end time proclamations, announcements, and messages, both official and personal, as in prior visits, with the official documentation. Oh, okay. This makes sense. Yes, of course. Now, O daughter of heaven, I shall begin unless you have another question. No, Gabriel, please forgive me. There's nothing to forgive. I watch as Gabriel fully opens the scroll. Before he begins reading, I hear the sound of a trumpet blast. One short blast, more like what the small shofars sound like, yet it seemed to shake the whole earth and atmosphere around me that sounded like it came from the heavens. Hear, O inhabitants of the earth. The times of woes have come. You were warned to repent of your sin-filled ways and return to your God and Creator, Jehovah, through His Son, the risen Lamb, who died for all inhabitants, all those of mankind created by His loving, tender hands. Few have listened. Most have not. This is the official proclamation. On this, your original, celebrated Christmas Day, the day now that mocks the risen Lamb's Jesus' birth and life by the worship of idol gods, false deities, and religions, when it was set aside originally before the combining of pagan worship with holy observance, this being the official day of the sun calendar to worship Jesus, the risen Lamb, Son of the living God, Jehovah. This, on this day, is the official proclamation of war. You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. You have been weighed in the balance and found guilty. I apologize. Now your whole world is to reap the seeds of ill-gotten rewards. On this day of January 6th, 2023, for the beloved daughter of heaven's court calendar, for my calendar, which I'm in Tennessee, I declare by order from heaven's court war officially comes to your whole world, entwined with 3 days of darkness, time within time by heaven's standards. I speak now to you, O Babylon, which is America. With this declaration, Putin of the Bear will no longer be restrained from his prolonged coming attack upon your nation. His hands guides the other nations who have joined the organized coalition by the evil Putin's hands. Be not deceived, people of the earth. All leaders of your world are entangled together in this coming war, and all committed already are found to be of evil hearts, ruled by the master deceiver Satan, the destroyer of all that's good that he touches. What does this mean, Gabriel? It means, daughter, Vladimir Putin of Russia will now be free to fire upon your once great nation of America. Oh, no. Yes, oh, beloved daughter. Hear ye, hear one and all, people of Babylon of America. Your divorce has been finalized from your holy God because of your lewd actions, unfaithful hearts, and abominable actions. No longer will your nation receive the blessings and favor it once knew when under the wing of Jehovah God's protection. Now only those still faithful to Him, truly faithful in their love for him shall still receive these things, plus his protection. Okay, now I'm going to have to explain something. He had gave me a clue that I was not to share until now, but I need to share it to understand. He gave me a clue before Yuletide greetings were fully given, before that day is fully over. And Yuletide and Christmastide, Christmas is what he was talking about. And this apparently, January 6th, is the original Christmas on the sun calendar. You pray about it, seek the Lord. I'm just giving you the word. That's all. I'm just giving you the word. Okay. Gabriel, I was still expecting information before Yuletide greetings expired. Is this not the case? It is the announcement giving Putin the ability to launch his weapons. Putin will fire, and it is because this decree has went out before the Yuletide or Christmas Day greetings have fully transpired. I understand. Is there any more of this decree? Yes, yes, daughter of heaven's courts, there is. O ye people of the earth, this be also the official time of revealing. The revealing of things once hidden, which shall be hidden. The things once hidden, which shall not be hidden any more, but brought to the light. It shall also be the times where the hidden shadows, smoke screens, and mirrors of deception begin being quickly removed on order of Jehovah God, ruler of love, mercy, and justice. Judgment sits on his right hand. Is this all the official proclamation, Gabriel? Yes, upon orders of heaven's courts, the procession of war shall proceed fast forward with no more delays. But it is to be preceded by the 3 days of darkness, which will cover the whole earth with its outer darkness. This is the official announcement to your world for both the 3 days of darkness and war, because both events are joined together by way of judgment. Hear ye, O inhabitants of the earth. War and darkness comes now to your world. Be prepared in your hearts for these two events, because no one on earth should be left untouched by these events. With these words, Gabriel takes one step backward and begins rolling up the scroll. And I said, Jesus, Jesus, war's not going to be stopped, is it? No, daughter, it will not be. But here, sorry, there's some information I can't give out. All right. Then Gabriel says, now we must go. I said, thank you. Thank you to every one of you. They all give a slight smile, and then they are gone. And I am in stunned wonderment. Jesus, did that just happen? Yes, little daughter. The official declaration of war and the 3 days of darkness is the start of the beginning of these two events combined in one as a wheel within a wheel. What now, Jesus? You release this proclamation. Yes, Jesus, I will, with your help and strength. Done, daughter, done. And again, it ended at 8:22 p.m. Here are the verses that he gave me. The first one I read, Revelation 22:6, Hosea 8:7, Deuteronomy 24:1, Luke 1:19, Jeremiah 3:8, Luke 8:17, Jeremiah 25:4-7, Jeremiah 6:22-26. Please pray about these things. Lay them before the Lord. I have done what I have been commanded to do. He told me I need to go out today because this is what he this is Christmas Day, originally, according to the sun calendars. And I will tell you what he showed me. The Gregorian calendar is just that we have in America that we use is a revision of the Julian calendar. So, pray about it. Lay it before the Lord. Don't take my word. My mom was a godly woman. She said, don't take my word either. Don't take anybody's word. You go to the Word of God. So I'm asking you to lay these things before the Lord. Seek Him for your answers. I have to seek Him myself. Yes, I understand a lot that I can't share. But if you depend on me to totally give you all the answers, and I can't give you all the answers, then you're not seeking the Lord and let Him speak to you and building that relationship. And when you get the word directly from Him, you can hold on to it because you know it's from God. You received that word. He spoke to you, and it's not just, he said, she said. When our lovely Jesus speaks to you, and you hear His sweet voice or open the verse, and you know that verse is just for you, that's hard to steal from you. That's hard for the enemy to steal from you. So again, God bless from Tennessee. It's getting late here. It's 10:38 right now. But I pray you stay under the blood, and I will still have to upload this, so it's going to be kind of late, Lord willing. Unless He moves it quickly, it's in His time. Everything's in His time. I love you all. I pray for you all. That being said, again, God bless. Hold tight to Jesus. Don't ever let go. From Tennessee, bye-bye.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are welcome. Please check the three dots menu above or just at the bottom to adjust your viewing settings if it's not streaming for you properly. Everything for the videos concerning the Master's Voice End Times Prophecy blog channel, which is this YouTube channel you're currently watching, can be found in the description box just below next to the channel's name. So if you just touch that drop-down tab, you can find everything about sowing into the ministry. You can find everything about each prophetic video that you're watching. Each video will have a short snippet to let you know what the video is about so you can be more knowledgeable when you share it with others. This channel has sister channels on Rumble, on BitChute, and on Brighteon. So go ahead and show a little love to those channels. Share them with your friends who perhaps may no longer be using YouTube for personal reasons. You can also subscribe there. You can share those channels. There is also a Spanish channel that is called La Voz del Señor. I hope I'm saying it right. And that channel will be a blessing to you. All these prophecies, or at least as many of them as we can get up at this time, are being translated into Spanish and being loaded there. There is also a Spanish blog, and you can find all that information when you go to La Voz del Señor channel. And so today, I am continuing with the Supernatural series, which is the part of the Master's Voice where I am looking at things that are above the natural experience of human beings. So these prophecies that I'm covering in the Supernatural series involve things that are outside our normal purview as human beings. However, they should not be outside our normal purview as Christians. Christians should understand that in following and serving a God who is not visible to us by our five senses, we interact with our God through His word, through prayer, and by faith. And through these things, the Lord in His grace and mercy reveals His personage to us. Jesus shows who He is to us because of our faith exercised. This is what brings the manifested presence of God through to us. Without faith, it is impossible to please our God. However, our God is not the only supernatural personage that exists, and God is at pains to let us know this from the word of God first. Prophecy will line up with the scriptures. So even as you watch these things, if you are a new subscriber or if you find this video by chance, even if you watch these things and you hear things that you have never heard in the traditional church setting, the fact that you've never heard them doesn't mean that they're not true. The fact that you've never heard them doesn't mean that they don't exist. But here's the most important part. The fact that you've never heard them doesn't mean that if you stay ignorant of them, they won't happen. The Supernatural series is covering things that is going to affect every country in the world. Every single nation is going to come under the judgment of God for sin that has been committed by the people in those nations. Some people will have devastating judgments, such as the United States of America. Some people will have medium to moderate judgments. And some countries, because they genuinely practice a group and total form of faith, will see great miracles of the Lord taking place to protect and save those people from the things that will happen. But for America, I can say to the United States of America, as I've been saying in this series, that God says because this nation loves and exalts idols, not necessarily idols that look like various gods, but because we idolize people, we idolize human beings, we give them God status, and the things we say about them pour out worship from the lips that we somehow refuse to offer God. And because this nation is soaked in the blood of minors and in the blood of innocents, and because the nation's temperature is so hot for things like Halloween and things like zombie night and things like zombie shows and things like that, the Lord has said to me matter-of-factly, and I will give him his full due. Celestial, by the things they love, they shall be destroyed. So as I go into the Supernatural series and I continue dealing with things that God has revealed, all I'm saying is that nothing I'm saying is really new. It's just carefully stated in biblical verses that is talking, for instance, about a subset of people who will seek for death. Men will seek for death, the Bible says, and not find it. Now, when we think about that without the understanding that zombies are basically human beings who have become corrupted and destroyed and now cannot die. Zombies cannot die. You cannot pray for a zombie to be saved. A zombie has crossed the line of no return. And all I can say to people who keep asking these weird questions is, should you try to interact with these creatures, you will be standing before God much faster than you and God intended. So today's word is about darkness. Today the Lord spoke to me very early and said, Celestial, you will make one video about the coming darkness. And I have to say, this is a theme that I was not really paying attention to as I was listing the Lord's prophecies. He would mention it here and there, but because the Lord sometimes mentions up to 5 different topics in a single prophecy, I transcribe them and I would pay no attention to the fact that I keep writing about darkness, darkness, darkness. And so today he said that I will make just the one video about this darkness. And I went over the blog and I saw that I've covered some of the videos about darkness already. So one of them is called The Silver Mist, where I said that I saw that the earth became dark for a period of 3 days. For 3 days, we did not have real sun, real moon, or stars. I'll start there. For 3 days in the dream that the Lord gave me that is titled The Silver Mist, there was no sun and no moon. I was standing on a plane watching the sky with a family member of mine. And as we watched, there was no sun and no moon and no stars for 3 days. There was this fake artificial lighting in the sky that was very foggy, and there seemed to be light coming from one portion of the sky, but I can't even say it was light in a circular shape like the sun is supposed to be. It was just this fake day that we were getting that wasn't real sun, and at night it was so pitch black. This false lighting went away, and it was terribly dark. And so that is one one prophecy that I wrote about darkness, and I did not really pay attention to the fact that it was 3 days and three nights in that dream. In another set of prophecies, I think this is called Isaiah 13, part 1 and part 2, and I will just read it here. It's just one tiny portion. The Lord gave me all of Isaiah 13 to teach on camera, and I did. I shared every word that he said about how judgment would come to America concerning it. But there is a part that he said would come to the whole world, and I'll read it out now. Verse 10. Well, let me read verse 9 and 10, because you can't separate sin from these situations and occurrences and experiences that I'm speaking about. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I'll just read verse 11 as well. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud, and I will lay low all the haughtiness of the terrible. And so when I was sharing in the Isaiah 13 videos, I did indeed come to this part where the Lord had said that the earth will lie in darkness for a period. The stars of heaven and all the constellations up there are not going to shine. So one of the things that perhaps we don't rely on so much now in the modern world is using the stars and the constellations for travel. In the old days when this was written, this was a very terrible, terrible time that the Lord was speaking of to the ancient peoples, because almost every single thing that they did in their society was based on the movement of sun and star and moon. And these things were very important to these people when they were on the seas, because they didn't have sophisticated technology like sonar and radar and tracking and Wi-Fi and all those things. And so for God to say that there would be no stars in the heavens and no constellation and no sun and no moon, these people understood this rightly to be very terrible judgments of a God who is angry about, as he says, the world and its evil, the wickedness and the iniquity of people, the arrogance and the pride that is in the heart of people, and how haughty people have become. There's this misconception that pride is something that you can easily see. Pride must be those people who are moving around with the designer brand names and showing off how thick their money clips are and things like that. But pride can be as simple and innocuous as not wanting to listen when somebody is telling you not to go to the hospital and take something that you don't need because it might kill you later in life or do harmful things to you. Pride is when your family member is trying to tell you something is coming, something that is outside your known perspective, your available knowledge, your family member, your friend, your coworker, or even a stranger who may be trying to share information with you, such as myself, is telling you that there are times coming that will stretch the believability and the ability of most people. Pride can be as simple as saying, I don't want to listen to this because I don't think it's true. It doesn't sound true. She doesn't look credible. I'm not buying this. That's pride. Pride is basically when the glass is too full for you to pour anything else in. And so basically with that empty glass, when the smashing of glass and the cracking of glass times come, it will be much too late to start scrambling for the information that proud and arrogant people need to save their lives. And so in Isaiah 13, the Lord is saying that we will not have stars nor constellations nor the sun and the moon. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about one of the things that will affect the sun, such as the sun will go dark. So this could either be the sun not being fully on anymore. A portion of it will become dim, meaning that the light the sun makes will be of a lesser quality. Just think of, if possible, a light bulb that was able to, you know, those dimmer light bulbs, if you don't put it on at full strength, it will give a much dimmer type of light. So that may be what happens to the sun in the final days, not regarding darkness. Or it might be that when it says the sun will probably have a third or only two-thirds of its light, that could actually mean that the sun will only be up for a third or two-thirds of its normal time period. So instead of giving us a 12-hour day as it's supposed to, and then we get the rest of the time being dark, the sun may give a third of that or two-thirds of that, which means that the Earth will start to spend longer periods in darkness. Now, if you add to this prophecies that have already spoken about how lawless the Earth will become, how savage, heartless, cold, selfish, and murdering people will be, how does it sound to know that the sun will be going down at 2 or 1 p.m. or 3 p.m. and then there's this long stretch before you get the next morning? And so, two prophecies I will look out here where the Lord did speak very clearly about darkness and I did not notice it at the time. Both of them I received in September 2020. This first one is called Hear the Lord and Be Saved. And I'm not covering the entire prophecy because the majority of it is teaching. I am just coming to the part where the Lord highlighted to me that darkness is mentioned. Just a moment. This is the declaration of the Lord. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall be no sign given unto it, except the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Matthew 16 and verse 4. No sign will be given to this adulterous generation except the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale in total darkness, so shall this entire earth be dark at a future period, Whether this is near or far, I do not know, but the earth and everything attached to it shall sit in total pitch blackness that is more dark than when you switch off the lights and throw a heavy blanket over a person's head. In that time, the darkness will be the kind that can be seen, heard, and felt. Fallen creatures will manifest on this planet, and they will attempt to take many to perdition and utter destruction. Perdition is following a path of continual sin, which eventually results in your destruction. So when you hear someone is a son or a daughter of perdition, this means that this person is participating and carrying on in sin that will surely lead to their destruction. Why? Because they are displaying absolutely no interest in turning from that path and saving or reserving their soul from fire. So the Lord says they shall be successful. They shall be successful, says the Lord, because you don't love the truth, because you don't love my measuring rod alone, nor do you allow it to be sufficient for you. But you like to play these occultic games of looking for confirmation instead of realizing that your walk is weak and that the Lord cannot simply tell you something and you believe it on the spot like Moses and Abraham. Such men would hear from God, and even if they next heard from him 15 years later, the Lord would still find them believing as if he had spoken to them 5 minutes ago. But my church, the Lord said, loves signs and wonders. Therefore, the Antichrist will fulfill their hunger for magic tricks like you would not believe. They will follow him as easily as a child follows a stranger who has the kind of candy that they like. And so I often share on the Master's Voice about the need for discernment. Discernment goes deeper than how you claim that you have discernment. You can claim that you have discernment all you want, but the fact is, until the discernment is tested by two things that are so alike that it will take the special voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to a person to tell them, this one is from me and this one is a demonic manifestation. That is the only way to know that discernment is true. So to those who follow signs and like to play games and say, I'm waiting for God to confirm this to me before I believe it, the Lord says that in the last days, the fallen angels and also all the false prophets and the false pastors will receive diabolical last days power to astound and amaze. I just spoke of this yesterday, saying that the Lord has revealed that in the end times, the type of power that the pastors and the false prophets will be working with will be able to perform signs that human beings will not believe possible. They will astound and amaze. And in fact, church will be less about Jesus and more like a David Copperfield show. And people will flock to those places because they think, oh my goodness, the power of God is here. But it will be an unclean and diabolical power. And here's the scary part. When Satan is doing miracles simply to what the power of Jesus Christ can do, it comes coiled almost as if there is a huge python all around it with the power of seduction. Now, we are grown-ups on this channel, more or less, and therefore we understand what seduction is by definition. It is a compelling force. People who are sitting in these churches when this type of high-level witchcraft is going on will feel as if they are nailed to their seats. So even as they are watching, and even if the Holy Spirit may start to tingle and tell them, I don't think that you should be here, Samantha, they will find that their limbs are almost powerless to go through the actions of getting up and taking their handbag or their backpack and walking out the door. Because when the serpent of seduction coils around a person, that person will understand that the Bible doesn't joke about the language it uses. The Bible says that when the devil deceived Eve, the word that it uses is the word beguiled. To beguile someone is to literally draw them in through a combination of factors where they have this puppy dog heart-eyed stare. It is where you completely take over the independent thinking process, the faculties of reasoning and logic, the heart, and you somehow even manage to switch off the spiritual discernment that could keep or might keep that person safe. Eve was in the presence of something that she did not have a chance against, and her husband was standing right there with her and was silent and said nothing. The Bible says that the serpent beguiled Eve, and this is why when the Lord heard the story, he didn't start with Eve or Adam. He started with that supernatural being. That's the first person who got cursed and punished. That's why the Bible says that hell is reserved first for who? Sinful people? No. Hell was created and is reserved for the devil and his angels. There is a reason that the Bible names who God created the lake of fire for. God never intended for us, his beloved creation, to go into that. But all who live like the devil and his angels will end up sharing in their punishment. And this is why people, sinners, will actually end up in that place. It wasn't made for us. And so the power, the signs and wonders, let me read what he says. False prophets and pastors will receive diabolical last days powers that will astound and amaze. They will perform signs and wonders in your sight that you never believed possible since the day that you were born. They will deceive many, and more than half the church will go with them and their false god to their own painful destruction. To those who think that a magic trick is how I reveal myself to you, when instead I told you, blessed are those who believe without seeing, then you shall indeed be destroyed by your own zeal for scripture magic. I will leave you to be afflicted and in some cases totally destroyed by your lusts. So that is the first prophecy where the Lord is saying that the earth will lie in darkness for a time period. The sign will be the sign of Jonah, which is the Lord said is the only sign that he will give a wicked and adulterous generation. And the sign of Jonah is basically that Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the whale, and so this earth shall be dark, the Lord says, at a time period in the future. That is the first prophecy, hear the Lord and be saved, from September 19, 2020. The second message is part two of the prophetic word, where the Lord immediately continued the same theme. This prophecy is called Hearing the Voice of God, part two. Just a moment, please. This is part two of the same prophetic word. It is called Listen, Even in Darkness, September 19, 2020. For 3 days, this earth shall be dark as soot and pitch. It will be starless and very cold. It will look and feel like outer space where there is no warmth, and my presence shall not noticeably be there. Only with my true children will my presence be visible, to light their way, to bless their homes, to keep them safe, and protect it from the grasping tendrils of the evil one. The earth will be greatly exposed and vulnerable to terrors during this time. This is my command to you. Sit in your places and do not go out from them, or you will be utterly destroyed by the beasts roaming the territory at that time. Stay in your places and repent and cleanse your sins with my blood. Do not go outside to do anything, but sit until the sign of Jonah passes. After 3 days, he was brought forth from the whale into the daylight again. So shall you be, and I will keep you as you go through this. Amen. And so, this is one of the prophecies where the Lord gives it as 3 days. In some of the other places that the Lord has spoken to me about darkness, he has just said for a time period. And I explained earlier in the video that if we are looking at the sun losing its ability and fullness to give light and things like that, then we might look at a coming dimness before it goes dark, or it just might go dark because no one is able to tell and predict when the Lord will do these things. And so he said, that it will be very cold, it will be sunless, it will be starless, and his presence won't be noticeably there. He says that with his true children, his presence will be visible, and this brings to mind this word that you can find in Isaiah chapter 60 that says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you." And this brings to mind what I often say on this channel, is that when we're reading the scripture, we have been taught it a certain way, and we tend to read it at surface value. But if you hear the Lord says, the darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. For a long time in the body of Christ, this verse has been taught as only of spiritual application. And it's true, we are in a time of great darkness. There have never been more people ignorant about who God really is and about the truth of the Word of God than at this time period. We are now in the time period where apostasy is having one of its greatest renaissances. So not only are people who do not know God free and happy in an atheist lifestyle, but for the first time, I think, in modern history, at least modern documented history, we have people who are practicing things that the Bible outright calls sin, identifying as Christians. That's right. We are in the great time period of human history where you can identify as anything as long as you open your mouth and say that that is what you are. So if you want to say that you are a mushroom or a tree, as long as you say that and you give your mushroom pronouns, everybody has to agree because it's your right to self-realization, self-actualization, and no one has the right to simply tell you that you are deluded and that you need a strong dose of love, acceptance, and a crash course in reality. So now people are practicing paganism, but then saying that I'm a Christian pagan and I am on my channel to teach you everything about what Christian paganism is. And we have a rise of a huge community called Christian witches and Christian Wiccas, where people are telling you that they are practicing what God says is a rebellion so great that you should suffer not witches to live. Back in the days of Salem, people actually took that verse literally and were burning people on crosses and poles. But now we have reached the age of apostasy being so widespread that not only is it God doesn't exist, the atheists now have a healthy community and a body of friends that include people who are practicing things that God hates and calls abominations in his word, and yet they're claiming that they're Christians, that they actually know Jesus Christ the Son, Yah the Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit, who is our guider, our guide, and our confidant, our counselor. So people are mixing the profane with the clean and then saying, but this is also of God. I'm a Christian psychic and I'm a Christian this and I'm a Christian that. And it has reached the point where the Lord says for all this type of practice, he is going to judge. And so because the word has been taught one-dimensionally, when the average Christian looks upon this, they will say, no, Celestial, you're wrong. You're wrong. It actually is just talking about the deep spiritual darkness. All these people that you just listed, that's what it means. They're in deep darkness, except that the Bible says what it says. And the person who is at risk of being shocked in the end times is the one who misunderstands that the Bible is a very blunt book. And if we risk reading it one-dimensionally, then when it begins to show us its multiple dimensions, God and the angels will not be shocked. It will be us who thought A actually meant B, when A meant A and B was a whole different kettle of fish. We will be the ones who are shocked and ill-prepared. When it says darkness will cover the earth, it means exactly that. The earth will go dark. There are prophecies on the master's voice, but the Lord told me to leave those aside. Those will get their own videos that are talking about the fact that all the plagues of Israel will be again. The 10 plagues, the Lord says, that were seen in the earth performed by Moses and Aaron as a very emphatic judgment and a wake-up call from God to an extremely proud and haughty Pharaoh. Think of Isaiah 13, where God says, I will punish the arrogance and pride of humanity. Some of that arrogance and pride I've spoken out in many videos about people saying that they will blend themselves with this and that. We will live forever. We will exchange our body when this gets old and get a new one. All these things stem from the simple origin sin of pride. And so the darkness will come. The Lord says that he will be with his people, but his presence will not be noticeable in much of the world. And only his true children will see him, have him to light their way and to bless them and to keep them safe. But if those true children are to go outside the parameters of what God says, which is to sit in your places, I think this is Isaiah chapter 26, where it says, go, my people, and enter into your rooms. It's either Isaiah 20 and 26 or 26:20, where it says, come now, my people, and enter into your rooms. Hide yourself until the indignation is past. Indignation in normal English simply means when someone is very upset in a sharp way. But when the Bible talks about indignation, it's actually talking about God pouring out devastating punishments and wrath. So when it says indignation in the Bible, it's talking about the way God ripped Egypt to pieces and left them decimated, destroyed their economy, then destroyed all their buildings. And because their president was so arrogant, he actually destroyed a huge chunk of their population and killed almost everyone in the army by drowning them in the Red Sea. Israel crossed the Red Sea and was free on the other side. But one thing the Bible doesn't tell you, which you should know if you actually study and think about things a little, is that God left Egypt in pieces. If you read what the plagues did to that country, it took them decades to rebuild themselves back into a shadow of what they once were. So I pray that those who listen to these videos will hear. Please leave a like. Please share your comments respectfully below, because understand that this is a public place. It is not a place to just vent and go off. Other people are reading and watching. So let's try and have some form of decorum among ourselves. Please, this is Celestial with the Master's Voice. Thank you for being here. Give a thumbs up, share the video, send it to somebody who you think might need a wake-up call or just would generally want to know about things like this. And until I see you again, God bless you and keep you. Thank you to those who support the channel. Thank you to those who share the videos. Thank you to those who are giving them to other people and publicizing them in any way that you can. May the Lord bless you for taking his standard as far and as wide as we possibly can. And until I see you again, God bless you and goodbye.
Necessary just for that brief moment about, because the outer darkness just told me it's the darkness, outer darkness in hell, and that's what the 3 days of darkness is. It's alive. Somehow it's alive.
For 3 days in the dream that the Lord gave me that is titled This Silver Mist, there was no sun and no moon. I was standing on a plane watching the sky with a family member of mine. And as we watched, there was no sun and no moon and no stars for 3 days. There was this fake artificial lighting in the sky that was very foggy, and there seemed to be light coming from one portion of the sky, but I can't even say it was light in a circular shape like the sun is supposed to be. It was just this fake day that we were getting that wasn't real sun, and at night it was so pitch black. This false lighting went away, and it was terribly dark. And so that is one.
Last night, the Lord began to show me how the United States are going to find themselves very soon in a mess that they didn't think possible will come to this land. I saw people running to and fro. Hallelujah. It looks like the 3 days of darkness was upon this land. It was in the middle of the day, but it was dark, and people was running. Hallelujah. People had no peace after the 3 days of darkness, confused. A lot of people had a lot of questions, what is going on, what caused this, I can hear the media, scientists and all that, like on television and radio, saying they were trying to figure out why did these three days of darkness happen, what caused it, why were these things happening. And it was like being back in the time of Egypt when the angel up there came into the land, and it was darkness, it was evil. These people were being killed. My brothers and sisters, the firstborn was being killed before Pharaoh had no choice to let God's people go. It was all to let God's people go that the angel that is supervised by God Almighty, because God said, I will pass through the land. And it also said the angel they will pass through the land. And the Lord says, I will pass through the land.
My judgments are being poured out. The darkest hour is soon to come. That hour will be tragic. Tragic for many. For many who are lost will not find their way. They will wake up in an eternity of flame and torment because they have rejected me one day too late. Many today burn your halos. They have more time. Hear me, says the Lord. Some of you have no more time. Today is your day. Jesus told Peter, talk to a crow three times, and he will deny me. Some of you will cease to see the light of day before the rooster crows again. For some, it is morning, but for many, it will be their night, and the light will go out, never to return, says the Lord. Because I love you, I tell you again, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me, says the Lord. Confess your sins and repent, and I will save you, and I will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will spend eternity with me. But some of you reject me one more day, and you will go where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. You will reject me no more, says the Lord. It's time to settle the accounts of people before me, says the Lord.